Before we get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day. We do thank you for the rain, Lord God, as you have wetted a parched land. We pray that you would continue to pour your blessings out upon our land. We pray, Lord God, that you would cause us to get on our knees, Lord God, that we would truly acknowledge you as Lord and Savior, and you alone. I pray right now for the study, that you would bless this time, that we would understand what your word has to say about finances, and especially this subject, debt. In Jesus' name, amen. They're going to hear that on the tape.
Yes,
they
are.
Okay. For all of you, before we get started, that's why the mic is on mute. For all of you who are fill-in-the-blanks people, as you can see, it's a fill-in-the-blanks. The answers are sin, slaves, 15:4:6, 22:7, greed, self-indulgence, business, money, fat, mortgages, and possible presumed future earnings. Okay, now that we're finished with that, now we can start our study. I'm not naming names. Yeah. Okay, today's subject and next week's subject, we're going to talk about debt. And what the Bible has to say about debt, and what do we do about debt, how do we get into debt, which everybody knows how to do that, very easy, how to get out of debt, which not everybody knows how to do that. Before we start that, I have two graphs here, which my daughter already said she has flashbacks to college and she's starting to get the shakes with graphs. This is a graph of debt, and this is a graph of investment. And I'm going to make it very easy. Don't get freaked out. Okay? If you have a $300,000 mortgage on your home, and it's a 30-year mortgage, in the first 10 years of paying your payments, you will only pay $43,000 against that mortgage, which means you'll have $257,000 left of debt. In the next 10 years, you will only pay $82,000 on the mortgage for a grand total of $125,000. After 20 years, the bank still owns more of your house than you do. In the final 10 years, you will pay down $175,000 on that mortgage. This is what we'll talk about when we talk about compounding. Why compounding is so beneficial when you invest money and it's so detrimental when you borrow money. Okay? The second graph is investment. And I brought up this subject last week. This actually is a graph of just investing $50 a month. Just 50 bucks a month. Okay? In the first 10 years, your investment will be worth about $10,000. Almost nothing. First 10 years right here is 10 grand. In the second 10 years, your investment will be worth about $37,000. Okay? If you are not a long-term thinker, this is actually petrifying to a person to see that after 20 years of investing, I'm only worth $37,000. But with compounding, in the last 10 years, your investment becomes worth about $112,000. So in the final 10 years, you earn three times as much almost as you have in the first 20 years of investing. Okay? So when I'm talking to you guys who are 20, 21, 22, 30, okay, you don't have to invest much to make a lot. For me, at the age of 53, to get this same investment, I would probably have to put in $3,000 to $4,000 a month as opposed to $50. Okay? So that's when we talk about compounding, that's compounding. Okay? And if you have this mortgage payment And if you pay only $100 extra per month, your payment actually looks something like this. And for an extra $100 a month, you save 4 years on your mortgage and $57,000. Okay? That includes all the extra you're paying on a monthly basis. You will ultimately save $57,000 in interest. Okay? Questions? Okay. Let's get going. Debt is not a sin. We've said this over... I'm not on mute anymore. Debt is not a sin. Okay? But the Bible does discourage it. What does God say about a debtor? He's a slave. He is a servant to the borrower. If you remember the blessings and the cursings of all of the children of Israel when they went into Israel, God said that if you follow my word and keep my commands, you will lend to many nations and you will be borrower of none. Okay? So that the other nations would be the slaves of the Israelites. Okay? Karen, I never pick on you. Deuteronomy 15, 4 through 6. Ken, Proverbs 22, 7. Go ahead.
However, there shall be no poor among you, since the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, if only you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all this commandment which I am commanding you today. For the Lord your God shall bless you as he has promised you, and you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. And you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you.
Okay, and Proverbs 22:7.
The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender.
Okay, so God promises that you will be a ruler over many nations if you lend, and you will not be a ruler if you borrow. Okay, anybody know what the United States debt level is right now?
$6 trillion.
$9 trillion.
Yeah, $6 trillion is what's the advertised level. What that doesn't take into account is that the United States borrows every single penny from Social Security and does not consider that borrowing. So every dime, not to scare anybody, every dime that you've put into Social Security is not held anywhere except in an IOU from the federal government to the federal government. Okay? China today owns 1.2 or 1.5 trillion dollars of U.S. debt. And anybody know the scare that came across the world a couple of weeks ago when China said that they were no longer going to hold that much debt? There was near panic that they were going to start selling off dollars. So our nation has become a nation of borrowers and not lenders. Okay? So that's some of the things that happens when you borrow and you don't follow God's word. You get panic-stricken when the lender looks at you and says, the lender says, I'm not going to lend you any more money, and I'm also going to make you repay. Okay? This is now not going to be easy for a lot of people to hear. Debt is never the real problem. It is only symptomatic of the real problem. And here are the real problems. Greed, self-indulgence, impatience. I need it now, I want it now, I have to have it now. I can't wait till tomorrow. Fear, if I don't get it now, I'll never be able to get it. Poor self-image, I'll look better in that Mercedes because my neighbor has a Mercedes and I can't look worse than my neighbor. Lack of self-worth, things make me the person. Lack of self-discipline. Okay? Those are all the causes of debt. Okay? Now, back in the good old days, when consumer debt was tax deductible, you would hear not very wise tax advice that would say, borrow for tax deductions. Okay, anybody ever hear that? Borrow for a tax deduction. Okay, I'm going to give you an investment opportunity. For every dollar you give me, I'm going to give you back just 28 cents. And I'm going to keep 72 cents. Wise investment or stupid? That's a tax deduction. For every dollar you borrow, and pay interest, every dollar of interest you pay, the federal government, if you are in the 28% tax bracket, will give you a deduction of 28 cents, which means 72 cents goes out the door to whoever loaned you the money. Okay? Not a very wise decision. It is always better to pay the tax man than to borrow and think it's a benefit to get a deduction from the interest that you're paying. Okay? Economic dangers of debt. The compounding of interest. Anybody ever look at their mortgage schedule? Anybody ever look at a mortgage schedule? Okay? Let's say you have a $300,000 mortgage and it's a 30-year mortgage and your payment is about $1,700 a month. In the first month of that mortgage, interest is about $1,625 of that $1,700. Okay? So what you're doing is you're giving back the bank all of their money up front and waiting till the back end to get your benefit from the borrowing. Now, I'm not telling you not to borrow on a home. We have borrowed on a home. That's one of the few decisions that is an okay one, and we'll talk about that also, to borrow on a principal residence. Okay? Debt becomes a trap. Easy to get into, very, very difficult to get out of. Okay? So, I have a credit card. And I'm living at a level that every month I'm borrowing $1,000 from my credit card, so I'm living on $5,000 a month. Nobody can see that, right? I'm living on $5,000 a month, of which $1,000 is borrowing. Okay? And I crank up a credit card debt. To live correctly, to pay off that debt, I can't just go down to where I should be living at $4,000. I have to go below my living ability, maybe to $3,500, to pay off the debt that I've been accumulating because I've been living on top of what I've been earning. Any questions? Anybody understand that? Okay? Your living level is here. You're actually living up here. To fix it, you have to come down here someplace. And people say, how do I do that? Not easy. Not easy. It's possible. It's probable, but it's not easy. Okay? Debt always mortgages the future. Okay? Borrowing now to pay later means that you're mortgaging what you believe is going to happen in the future to pay for it, to get into that debt. Okay? Because the obligation of a Christian, right? You cannot walk away from your debt. As much as the federal government says you can. Right? What does the federal government say an individual can do? What bankruptcy? Chapter 11. Chapter 11 bankruptcy means that a person reorganizes his individual debt. He goes to his creditors and he says, actually the court says that he can pay this and this and this and this and this, 10 cents on the dollar, and after he does that, he's free and clear. Right? Not really free and clear because the court owns your money. They tell you what you can and cannot spend on. And they have at times told a person that they cannot tithe because it's superfluous and it doesn't pay bills. Okay, so you do this, and in 7 years, you get a clean record, and guess what you do? Go right back into debt again. And you file for bankruptcy again, right? You can file for bankruptcy every 7 years. That's what the federal government says you can do. What does the Bible say you can do? Pay what you owe. Okay? Okay. Spiritual dangers of debt. Debt presumes upon the future. Okay? You're relying on future earnings to pay for current expenses. Let me see if I have my example here. I'm going to bring it in early. You have a very expensive eraser. I'm glad our church doesn't get into that much debt. Okay. You get into $2,000 of credit card debt. $2,000. And the credit card company loves you. They really love you because you are only capable of paying the minimum balance. The minimum balance that you can pay on a $2,000 debt for my credit card is $40. Minimum balance. Every month I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to pay $40. And I've got a very good credit card too. It's only at 16.24% interest. In the state of California, you can go, I think, up to 25.99 based on your credit risk. Okay? If I pay this, it will take me 84 months, 7 years to pay off $2,000. And it will cost me $3,360. Almost 70% on top of what I bought. So, if you bought that TV for $2,000, that TV cost you $3,400. Okay? Any questions? Oh, yes, ma'am.
Isn't that if you don't add anything more to...
Oh, yeah, that's just, you finally say to yourself, I'm cutting up my credit card and I'm going to pay the minimum balance till the end. That $2,000 will cost you $3,360, yes. And that's at 16.24%. With the wonders and the beauty of compounding of interest, if you go to a 25% card, that probably is near $5,000. And that's why credit card companies love you. Credit card companies will give you credit until the day is long. They don't care if you default, because that default is right in here. They've already calculated it. It's already been figured. They've already made their profit on it. Okay? Anybody know one of the top businesses for credit card companies? One of the top constituencies they go for today? I said this once before. College students. College students. Because they know college students are poor, and they want, and they can't pay it off. Okay? Average college debt coming out of the United States of credit cards today is somewhere in the area of $10,000 to $20,000 per student who goes on credit cards. Okay? Now, my wife and I have a credit card. We use it. We have it automatically paid off every month. Would you happen to know what the credit card companies consider us? Jerks. What's the technical term for what we are? You will not believe this. We are deadbeats. Why are we deadbeats? Because our interest rate is 0%, where a credit card company makes all of its money. They get a little bit on the purchase, no big deal to them. They make all their money in interest. We don't give them any. So we're considered deadbeats. Okay? Okay, I need Daphne, Isaiah 56:12, Kathy, Proverbs 27:1. Let's see, who else? Jeff, you got your Bible? James 4:13 through 17. Daniel 4:37. Isaiah 55:8 and 9. Okay. Let's start with Isaiah 56:12.
Come, they say, let me get wine. Let us fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure.
Okay, now why did I use this passage? Yeah, this individual is presuming on the future. He actually believes that he knows that tomorrow is going to be just like today, which nobody knows what 5 seconds from now is going to be, let alone tomorrow. Okay? Proverbs 27:1.
Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth.
Okay. And James 4:13-17.
Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life, for you are a mist that appears before a little time and then vanishes? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, then we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin.
Okay, very strong words from James. Okay, point number two on the spiritual dangers of debt. Borrowing may deny God the opportunity to work. Can somebody tell me why that's the case? Why I can actually say, and it's actually Ron Blue that can actually say that it could deny God the opportunity to work.
Because you're not depending on God to provide the need.
Right, you're depending on Chase or Morgan Stanley or Disney or whoever Visa it is. You're not depending and waiting on God, okay? Invariably, God's method of meeting my needs and desires is different from mine, okay? I can tell you what my method is. I'm going to find any way I possibly can to meet my needs, as opposed to getting on my hands and knees and asking God to provide for my needs, okay? It's a lot harder to get on your hands and knees in the United States than it is in the Sudan, okay? Because we have everything. It's all before us. It's right there at our fingertips, and there are people willing to lend us money to get it. Just watch commercials on TV. They're happy to lend you money. As a matter of fact, you're not a person unless you're borrowing more to get better. Right? In the Sudan, who's going to loan you money? You have to depend on God. Okay? So, here's a quote from Ron Blue. What we are really saying when we borrow is, yes, God, you are sovereign enough to save me from my sins, but your sovereignty ends when it comes to my finances. Okay? Daniel 4:37.
Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble.
Okay, and Isaiah 55:8-9.
My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Okay. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves is, does God provide what I want by me borrowing? Or is this me meeting my wants and desires in my own way? Okay? We have a very difficult time in the United States today determining the difference between a want and a need. I counseled a family. I actually was an individual. And his number one need on his budget that he could not cross out under any circumstances, was cable TV. He was willing to sacrifice food for cable TV. His want became his need. Okay? So when we do budgeting, and in a couple of weeks we're going to go through budgeting, you really need to sit down with yourself, with your wife, with your husband, with your family, and determine what's a need and what's a want. Okay? And heat is not a need. Our house was 59 degrees this morning. Heat is not a need. Anybody have any questions, comments so far?
I'm glad I don't live with you.
I'm sorry, Ray. You were open for that.
I would buy you a sweater.
You just burned lots of the fire.
That's another good way of doing it. Yes. Yes. Yes, we have lots of wood if anybody wants any wood for a fireplace. We have cords and cords and cords of avocado. Anyway, okay. Biblical principle of borrowing. Not repaying is never an option. Okay? Now, is it ever okay for a Christian to declare bankruptcy? Check this, check your answer before you answer. Is it ever okay for a Christian to declare bankruptcy?
Yes, please. Amen.
Yes. When is it okay?
When you can't pay at that time, but if you, as long as you pay it back later.
Right. Let's say there are creditors hounding you at the door, and they are unwilling to listen to reason. And they are hounding and hounding, and in California, if you are homesteaded, they can't take your home, but they can take everything else. Okay? So they lean on your car, you can't drive, you can't get to work, you can't pay for your debt. So if you can make an arrangement with the court that when you declare bankruptcy, that you want a payment plan that you will pay off all your debt, then you can declare bankruptcy. The odds of the court letting you do that is slim to none. Okay? But it's possible that you can make arrangements that you can pay off all your debt. Or if the creditor comes back to you and says, you know what? I am willing, even though you're not asking, I am willing to reduce your debt if you pay me on this payment plan. That's perfectly fine too, because that's his right, right? I owe somebody $100,000, he comes back to me and says, tell you what, if you pay me $70,000 over the next year, I'll be okay. I'm going to say no. Say, absolutely, I'll pay you $70,000 if you go away. Because I'm not the one that said I'm only going to pay you $70,000. Okay? Yes, sir.
Aren't the laws now that you have to pay that? Didn't bankruptcy laws change?
You know what? I haven't kept up with bankruptcy laws. I don't know. I can't answer that. What happens normally is creditors take a cut. They take a haircut and they say, okay, don't ever borrow from us again. And when you get out of bankruptcy, come back and we'll give you another credit card.
Okay. Now, Ray?
Yes.
Question. If you have declared bankruptcy, doesn't that destroy your credit?
7 years.
So after 7 years?
It's off your record.
Really?
You're back to normal and you're back to borrowing again.
My son's in the mortgage business, and he said in many cases they cut into that quite a bit. 4 years or less in some cases. They'll still, if it's an old bankruptcy, they'll look at a more recent pattern.
Yeah, because you buying a car that's worth $20,000 and you declared bankruptcy 4 years ago and you're a huge credit risk and they're going to charge you 17.5% interest and they're going to make $30,000 of interest on a $20,000 loan, they'll do it because they've already calculated in the risk of you. Okay? Yes, sir.
That will stay on your record forever unless you make the attempt, and it's not always as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, no, it's not easy.
Have that removed. It will be there until the day you die.
But they can't hold it against you after 7 years.
But it's staying on your record rather than see.
Yeah, bankruptcy is not a pleasant thing. Because the court takes over your finances. Okay? Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. Okay? As I've said before, whenever you borrow from somebody, you are his slave. Right? Try not paying back your home loan. And seeing, or try not paying back the federal government the taxes that, you know what the federal government can take from you if you don't pay your taxes? Anybody have a clue what the federal government can take from you if you don't pay your taxes? Pardon me?
Whatever it wants.
Everything. The federal government is the only organization in the United States that can walk in and take everything, including every penny of your future earnings. They can walk in, go to your employer, and say, yes, sir.
There was a certain NFL player in Dallas, Texas, that owed the federal government taxes. And in order to get his attention, we took a Super Bowl ring first.
Okay. So the federal government comes in, they look at you, they go to your employer and say, tell you what, he nets $1,000 a week, he now nets zero. How do you live? They don't care. Okay. Now, other organizations can take much less. The state can only take something like 25 or so odd percent of your earnings. Other groups can only take it based on court orders. But the federal government can take everything. And they don't care if you live or you don't live. They really don't care. Okay? I hope this is not depressing. Sorry. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rules over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Okay? Now, by taking on debt, you run the risk of not being able to provide for your own. Because, as I said before, debt mortgages the future. Okay? $300,000 mortgage. $300,000 mortgage. I'm going to be really cheap and easy and say it's 6%. When my wife and I moved to Texas, because of a certain president of ours, when we borrowed on our home, it was 17.5% interest. Our mortgage on an $80,000 loan was more than this $300,000 mortgage right here. Okay? So, $300,000, 6%, 30 years. Anybody have a guess as to how much they're going to be paying off after 30 years?
560.
Very good. 577. $577,000 is what your home is going to cost you. Okay? Now, if you pay off an extra $100 a month, it'll cost you $520,000. So the benefit of paying off your mortgage early. Another question, anybody know the easiest ways to pay off a mortgage early? Double payments. That's pretty tough.
Extra payment a year.
One extra payment a year. When do you do it, beginning or end? Beginning of the year. Because then that starts causing the savings all year long. Okay? Second way of doing it.
Extra $100 a month.
Extra $100 a month. That's an easy way. So what happens is you're paying off your mortgage, you get a raise. Take everything that from that raise and keep on paying your mortgage. Don't live on anything more. You can do that. Another way.
Round up.
Oh, you mean as far as instead of $1,653, $1,700?
Yeah.
Yep. And the other way is biweekly. Pay your payments biweekly. And why would that do anything? You're paying 26 payments, right? Biweekly as opposed to semi-monthly, you're making 26 payments as opposed to 24. So you're making one extra mortgage payment a year. Okay? That takes approximately 10 years off your mortgage by paying biweekly or one extra payment a year. Okay? 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay? I knew a parent at Santa Fe Christian School. He had a home. Now, when you think people who live in Rancho Santa Fe and Del Mar and Encinitas and Carlsbad, they're all rich, not true. He had a home. It was just a pretty small home, $15 million. We knew he had a $15 million home because he had it on the market at the time, selling it for $15 million. He could not pay his child's tuition, $800 a month. Okay? His mortgage, $30,000 a month. Okay? Debt mortgages the future. Okay? So, what's happened in California specifically, not like the rest of the United States, is we are building bigger, better, more incredible homes and living right at the absolute edge of our ability to live.
Downsize.
Hoping that in 3 years, when our income goes up, because we are going to get raises, right, every year? That's the way we think. Then we'll be able to afford it better. Okay? And now, finally, the first home builder with intelligence in the last 20 years in California, K&B Homes, is now downsizing their homes. Because they know people coming into the market can't buy 3,500 square foot homes. So they're now building 1,500 and 1,600 and 1,800 square foot homes. Okay? How would you like to have a $30,000 a year mortgage? Nice house. Nice house. Could you imagine going home to that house every day and right at the edge of bankruptcy? Right at the edge. Yes, sir.
How many millions did he have in furnishings in that house?
Oh, and landscaping. And landscaping, yeah.
You Picasso on the wall adds up pretty fast.
Okay? Okay? Another thing hard to hear. Ooh, and I'm going to end on this one. You can take this one home. Debt makes it very easy to fund greeds as opposed to needs. Okay? Luke 12:15. Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Okay? It's very easy to need cable TV. It's very easy to need HBO and all of these channels that cost so much money. It's very easy to need steak when you can live very well, on beans and rice, right? Very nutritionally on beans and rice, okay? But when you're unwilling to get into debt, it's very hard to fund greeds, okay? Questions?
How often do you eat beans and rice?
How often do we eat beans and rice? Chipotle, once a week. Beans and rice. Okay? Everybody, I've told the story of when we were not very well off. We went from two income family to a one income family. My wife was making much more money than I was. She's a registered nurse. We dropped down below half of our income. We had our first child, so now we have three people in our family. And now we moved back to California. The cost of our house for 600 square foot smaller was twice the price. Okay? And we still had to go out on dates. I've told this story. Our date was Acapulco's Nachos Grande. They were, at the time, about $4.75, $5, and two glasses of water. Nachos and water. Okay? Got away on a date for about $6. Okay? So there are ways that you can still live that you don't have to live excessively. Okay? Questions? Since I'm over time again, which I always am. No questions? Okay? Next week, the second half of this, study why is so much written about debt in God's Word, criteria for undertaking debt, ways to get out of debt, And then I want to talk about surety. Everybody know what surety is? Take on the debt of another, right? What's the number one way of getting into surety in the United States today? Pardon me? No, co-signing, you going to co-sign on this guy's loan? No. What are you going to do? You're going to start a business, and you're going to get into a partnership. And guess what? The second you get into a partnership, you are liable for every single dime your partner spends. Surety. Okay? So we'll talk about that too. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you. We pray that you would send us home safely and that we would come back tonight to worship you and honor you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.